Now, the text I have this morning is in Romans 6, the first six verses, but I read verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now then, the understanding of this chapter is a blessing to every soul. It is a difficult chapter to understand. But if we can capture the first six verses here, you'll find it most thrilling. If you're not already familiar with it, you'll find it most thrilling. It is in regard to our sanctification. And you can see as I go through how many wrong teachings there are regarding this and how many of the excuses that we make for sin, because we make a wrong interpretation of this chapter. So I want to do it as well as I can, or as clearly as I can, but I ask you to be patient because it is difficult. Yet, once seen, it's one of those things, once you see it, you cannot not see it again. It's there. So we pray that God will help myself and you also. Now then, so far, we know that the Roman Epistle is a great statement of the Christian faith. And up until this chapter now, we have a kind of digression away in chapter 6 and verse 7, and he comes back in chapter 8. Now, he's picking up something about grace, and he has a great concern. Now, we've had this great statement of the Christian faith where the apostle has taken us from the depths of unbelief and sin and brought us to the gospel and our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're able to say that we are justified. The beginning of chapter 5, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That will then, if you wanted to follow the sequence in a clear way, it will be, there is therefore now, in chapter 8, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Yet, nevertheless, these two chapters, it's as if you say, well, I have these two thoughts that I want to bring to you, as if they were in brackets. And they are so important and they are so helpful. Now, he brings us now to a thought that he had, and he comes in the end of chapter 5. In verse 20, he says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did more abound. Not an easy verse to understand. What he's saying is this, that when the law came, it showed us what sin was. But human beings, being human beings, you know, when we say to a child, don't do something, that child is more likely to do it. And we are the same. Also, that is the law. And as if we wanted to provoke God. But nevertheless, the law does make sin very, very clear. So we know that we have fallen short. It does that. It is our schoolmaster. Then it says, when we have an understanding of the awfulness of sin, then the wonder of grace becomes more in our eyes and more precious. But you can see somebody thinking like this, and they're saying, ah, oh, well, that's good, I like that. Well, I can break the law that I can have more grace. And he says, God forbid, right? God forbid that we should fool around with God. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That is really where he comes from there now into what we have. We're going to look as we were in Adam, what we are in Christ, and that then our conclusion. Now my first heading is this, the previous condition, knowing that our old man is crucified with him. Now, this is not in any way taken away from the unique quality of the crucifixion, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the propitiation and the atonement. But we are seeing there our union with Christ and what is the benefits we have. Now, what is the meaning here? Our old man. Now, what is the position of the unconverted person, of the unregenerate person? He is what we call, he is in Adam. What he is from the loins of Adam. And we know that this is a description, say now, of our humanity because of that in these verses here. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is what we are outside the grace of God. So, God, so the very essence of our being, our humanity, the heart of the soul. He says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So that's what we mean by being in Adam. And that influences then every part of our being and every sensibility that we have. Now, our old man means just that. The man I used to be, or the woman, or the man, the person, I used to be in Adam, where the imagination of the thoughts was evil continually. So the center of my humanity, the heart or the spirit of my soul, this is what I inherit from the loins of Adam. This is what I am outside the grace of God in Adam. Now, what happens? What is he teaching us here? Now, we are told here that it's crucified with Christ. Now, if that is true, that's tremendous. You know, let me bring in a little error here. When a Christian sometimes says, "Ah, well, that's the old Adam in me," they haven't understood the gospel. They haven't got an idea when they talk like that. They're either extremely ignorant, or else they are still in Adam. Because that is crucified. That's finished with. And that's dead, never to rise again. Now, it takes a lot of accepting that, but when we do, it's marvelous. Our Lord came in and took hold of that man that we were, made it a part of himself, in order that he might do away with it and take it out of us. We are no longer in Adam when we are Christians. We are now in Christ. My old humanity, that verse I read to you, the imaginations of the thoughts, my old humanity, the control, my essence of my soul, my being, is crucified, is dead. Now, I know you can see problems coming immediately, but forget the problems for the moment. Just look at the reality of this. The man that I was by birth, that is in Adam, was joined and united to Adam and inherited from, as all human beings, original sin. And it influenced there the very essence of my heart. My humanity was a product of my unity with Adam and influenced all my sensibilities and my faculties and also guided the actions of my body. The old humanity, and what is the old humanity? It's not my body. It's not my faculties. It's the very heart of my soul. The very essence of my soul. Died with Christ. What was it like? Evil. The imagination of the thoughts of the heart towards evil continually, in total cooperation with the desires of Satan, in unity with Adam, and influencing all our faculties and the direction of our body. Imagine that controlled all that, that very heart towards evil continually, my humanity died with Christ. Not dying. Died and is dead. Now, keep that in your thoughts. Second point. The present position. Look at verse 4, for example. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. So now we have a situation said, yes, it is true. That humanity of yours, that heart of sin that you had, it is crucified. But what has happened to you is that finish, do you not exist anymore? No, that is not true. Without loss of your identity, of course, then the transformation has taken place. And what is this transformation? You are new. You are new. And this new humanity is dead to sin. That's a daring thing to say, isn't it? Is dead to sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now then, what is the purpose of this? That the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, what is then the body of sin? And remember what we are now. The old man is dead. In its place, like a kind of spiritual transplant, is the new man. Now, this new man is dead to sin. It's a very comforting thought. You might say, well, can that be true? Well, it is true. But he brings in another term. And he says that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Put it a picture like this. Let me put it to you. Now, here is the man in Adam, and here is the, not the actual physical heart, but the heart and the essence, the center of his soul, the imaginations of the heart that I read at the beginning. There it is, a transformation takes place. That is crucified with Christ. But as Christ died, my old humanity died with him. As Christ rose from the dead, so also a resurrection kind of took place in the very humanity I have, and it becomes not in Adam, but in Christ. Now then, come back to in Adam. When that essence, that heart of the soul, was in this Adamic kind of nature that we have in our total being, then it influenced my mind, my memory, thoughts, being, and took the direction of my body, and there was very little resistance. But now in Christ, this new man is in the same body, but has a task to perform. All right, there's the area that we're in. And this is what we mean by growing in grace. You can say now that God has an ally in the new person. And we have an ally with God. In the same body, we have now this tremendous change. And growing in grace is the influence of the new man upon all the areas and the spheres of our life, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, the body of sin is the physical body. The body is a sphere that we are concerned with. We died with him, we rose with him. The new man is dead to sin as a realm, and that's something reigning over him. He's finished with it. Yet sin has a great deal to do with this little body of mine. Sin has a great deal to do with this little body of yours. But you're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. And so something has changed within you that is dead to sin and is able to draw upon vast resources that will deal with this body of sin of ours. The Christian united with Christ and dwells in the heavenly, spiritually speaking now. We died with him, we buried with him, we are risen with him, we ascended with him, we are seated with him in heavenly in places. That we are, as we were united to Adam, we are not anymore. We are united with Christ. The old man is gone and a new man is there in Christ Jesus. If we believe the truth about this, yet nevertheless, it is not the truth about the body and about our mortal body. Sin is still in the mortal body. Sin is there. Now, but can you see the difference? If we are inclined to think, oh, well, it's the old Adam in me, then it's a hopeless situation. You'll never get anywhere. But if you can say and know this confidently, ah well, that old Adam, my old humanity, is crucified with Christ, and I have now a new thing in me. I have this new man in me, and this new man, by the grace of God, will influence my total being. You know, it's a great help when you have a powerful besetting sin, and you can say, I'll never get rid of that. Well, you're new. You're new. Anything is possible. Everything is possible when we have this miracle, no longer in Adam, but in Christ. And now that we are in Christ, to avail ourselves of that great truth, and that we might destroy the body of sin and realize that sin should no longer rule over us. Sin, which formerly governed the whole of my personality, is now only governing or trying to govern the bodily parts of me. All right, shall read that to you again. Sin, which formerly governed the whole of my personality, heart, soul, put it as one, and body, governed the whole of my personality, is now only governing or trying to govern the bodily part of me. I say trying because you see, God has an ally, and we have an ally with God in the very essence, the heart of my soul. That's the difference. Anything is possible because the old man is crucified with Christ. We are dead to sin. There, our problem is the sphere of the body. Sin still has its power over the body. Even the man who is in Christ, the man himself is delivered, but not the body. Nevertheless, these verses do look forward to a greater and an absolute deliverance in Romans 8:23 when we have the redemption of the body. But I'm particularly concerned now about life here on earth. Now, you see now why he has these words. Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing that heart described in Genesis, that describe what I am in Adam, that the imagination of the thoughts of the heart are towards evil continually. What chance had the body then? Nil. In total cooperation with Adam and the desires of Satan. Knowing this, that old man is crucified with Christ. Knowing this, that I have a new man. And the new man is dead to sin. And because of this, we know, does it mean I'm perfect? Not at all. It means that the new man is dead to sin, but I'm still in this body of sin. So what does the new man say? Help me, Lord. Of course I will, says God. In every avenue and in every part of the activities of our body. That's the wonderful thing. When we recognize that, you need not break your heart. Anything and everything is possible. Then in conclusion, a personal conclusion. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Sin will try and say, I'm your master. And you can say, no, you're not. You can affect my body, but you're not my master. You're not my king. I have a new king. Satan is no longer my king. I'm no longer in Adam. No, you're not my master. I'm not obliged in any way to serve you. We may fall to sin, but we're not obliged to. You do not rule over me anymore. I have another king. I'm under new management. I'm under the King of Kings. He has my heart. I am new. I'm a new man in Christ. You'll never make it, says Satan. Look at what your body is used to doing. I know, I said, I know. But he will help me to grow in grace, that sin no longer shall have dominion over me or any vestige of it at all. Back to the verses. We are planted together with him. We grow together. We are not any more slaves of an Adamic nature to the reign of sin. But we are children of God. We are in Christ and under the rule of righteousness. I'm going to close now with an illustration. I've used many in trying to bring this teaching. But I'm going back to one that I read years ago. And it's by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on this point. He said, I want you to think of yourself as an island. An evil island. And there is a capital in the center. There is the general, an evil general with his staff. And he rules. And his staff obey him. And he's in touch with an evil empire. Then one day the forces of good come. They break communications. They stop supplies going in. And they land on the beaches. And the first thing they do is take the capital and take the old flag down and burn it and put the new flag up. It's now no longer the territory of general evil, but now in the charge of general grace. You may say, is the war over? Ah, no. No. In the jungle, here and there, there are pockets of resistance. And this general needs to be in touch with the great master of all. And he says, what do you need? I need supplies. I've got a pocket of resistance to the north here. I need supplies. Here they are. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Let me bring it into a doctrinal sphere. Let us now think of the heart of man, the imagination of the thoughts of the heart towards evil continually, and its staff, the mind, the memory, the affections, the will, the conscience, doing the will of an evil heart, and the body in every part, serving all its vile desires. Then one day an invasion comes, and the Holy Spirit regenerates and brings this person to Christ. And there's a change of leadership here. The old man is crucified, and the new man is there. The flag of grace is raised, Christian, in Christ. He said, but, O Lord, there are pockets of resistance. I'm having trouble with my mind. I'm having trouble with my staff. I've got rather an unclean mind or a vicious mind. Do you want help? Yes. I'll help you. Then I'm having trouble with my memory. It's recalling things that are unclean that I once indulged in. I give you grace. And to the affections, the will and the conscience and so on. Now, does that happen? Does that mean that once you have grace for them? No, because there is a constant having to deal with them. And nevertheless, you say, well, I don't know. The resistance is weakening in that area and that area and that area. And this body of sin of mine. Yes, I know I've got a long way to go. I'm growing in grace. There are still little pockets that sometimes they listen and they seem to respond, then they seem to go into resistance again. But he giveth grace and giveth grace. Now that's the picture. What do you think of that? Now look at it. The old man is crucified, dead. Then with newness of life, there is the new man. But still in his body of sin. And however you describe the areas, it doesn't really matter. You can have a whole list of things, can't you? There are pockets of resistance, some more than others. And let us say that this little area here might be setting sin. Well, I'll never get rid of that. That's how my family have been, and so on and so on. No, says God, you see, I've got vast resources. But it's going to be very expensive. It means I'll need a great deal of grace. I have limitless resources. And so use them. Use them. We fail because we fail to realize who we are. That we are in Christ. And we fail because even when we know we are in Christ, we fail to make application for grace. To overcome these pockets of resistance that have been so used to an evil heart, with the imaginations of the thoughts of what evil continue, so used to it. And all the areas of our life, so used to doing those things. You might say, they'll never get out of the habits. Yes, they will. That's what it means to grow in grace. That the body of sin, as he puts it here, knowing this teaching, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so with this new man and the grace of God, we have a task, a difficult task, yet but not impossible. Possible. In any area, in every part, possible, and we are able to overcome, and then able to achieve, you see, Look what it puts here. Let me give you some verses. It is possible to have the mind of Christ. It's possible to have the affection set on things that are above. It is possible to know the will of God. Our confession puts it like this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And I would say this, you know, that when we do not use the grace of God that this new man is able to do, we're miserable. That's right. When we indulge in things we thought that we turned away from, or look at them or think about them again, we're miserable. Of course we are. We don't belong there anymore. We don't belong. We are in Christ. But it'll take a while, it'll take a lifetime of sanctification, of growing in grace. But then the wonder of it is this. I cannot give you the timing, no one knows. If it is at the moment of death or just before we die, our sanctification is suddenly made complete. Is that wonderful? Our positional sanctification, which is always complete in Christ, then our progressive sanctification becomes complete. That's a wonderful thing. And meanwhile, while we're here on earth, I just have to say that if I fail him, I have no excuse. If I let him down, I have no excuse. We do. But perhaps he allows us to sometimes, in order that we might avail ourselves more and more of the grace of God. We sang some lovely things today. Do you remember this? My God, how excellent thy grace, whence all our hope and comfort springs. The sons of Adam in distress fly to the shadow of thy wings. We're in Christ. What about my life now? A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fitted for the sky. To serve the present age my calling to fulfill, or may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care, as in thy sight to live, and O thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely, and let me ne'er my trust betray, oppressed to realms on high. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we worship and praise thee. And ask thy blessing upon these words and pray, O Lord, that they may be made clear by thy Spirit and to ourselves and to our immortal souls, for thy name's sake. Amen.